So tonight we continue our reflections on the rainbow prayer written by Patrick Chang and Kittredge Cherry. And for those who might not be familiar with what we've been doing, this prayer they wrote lifts up for every color of the pride flag, one of Chang's models of Christ. And so we've been working through the colors, and we now arrive at blue. And for blue, they pray. Blue is for self-expression, the voice of spirit. Liberator Christ, you are our voice, speaking out against all forms of oppression. Free us from apathy and grant us the grace of activism. With the blue stripe and the rainbow, motivate us to call for justice. And it's interesting that it fell to today, the Sunday before the U.S. Independence Day, to talk about Chang's model of the liberator Christ. I didn't plan that. It just happened. But it does seem appropriate, and it seems like a great time to ask the question, what is freedom? What does this liberator Christ free us from and free us for? Now, the dictionary offers several definitions of freedom, and all of them seem to center around the idea of having no restrictions or restraints on what we say or do or how we live. We might say freedom is the ability to make our own choices. In the prayer, freedom is connected to self-expression and to justice. And in that respect, maybe freedom is the ability to be our true selves without persecution. And perhaps that's what the liberator Christ, or Christ as our liberator, is doing, creating the conditions for us to thrive as the people who God made us to be. In this country, we hold up freedom as an ideal, declaring our nation to be the land of the free. But I think we also need to admit that while there's a lot of great things to celebrate about our independence and about the freedoms in this country, there's also a lot of gray area when we're talking about freedom. I mean, of course, there are restrictions on what we can and can't do. Those are kind of necessary for society in order for us to all live together peacefully. And we know there are also times when the call of freedom really means that I want to be free to control others. So not only can I do what I want, but everyone else has to do what I want as well. A nation where women don't have control over their own bodies, or where transgender people aren't allowed to access proper health care, is not really a land of freedom. And yet those oppressions are often supported with a call, especially to religious freedom, which too often becomes a call for persecution of anyone that's not like us. If we're following Christ, then we have to reject these false concepts of liberation that are simply fear and selfishness in disguise. Freedom that does not take into account the ability of others to freely live their lives is not really freedom. It's selfishness. It's petty and oppressive. And for Christians, I think it's especially reprehensible. And that's probably a little bit of a judgmental statement, but it makes me angry when people who call themselves Christians use their faith as an excuse to discriminate and hate, as we saw this week in the case decided by the Supreme Court, allowing a website designer to reject the LGBTQ plus clients because of their so-called religious beliefs. Another false idea of liberation is the so-called reparative therapies that claim to free people from homosexuality. That is simply fear trying to keep people from being who God made them to be. We don't need to be freed from our sexual orientation or our gender identity, but we do need to be freed from the self-loathing and self-hate that is taught to us by our culture and by religion. The liberator Christ wants us to be free, to become our authentic selves. But that also means helping everyone else discover and become their true selves as well. If we're following Christ, the liberator Christ, then we are called to help the marginalized. When Jesus begins his ministry, our scripture says he came in the power of the Spirit. He was in harmony with God's purpose and intentions. And he declares in that power exactly what he was anointed by God to do, to bring good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to those held captive, release for those in prison, and sight to the blind. Jesus declares his ministry as the year of God's favor, which is actually a reference to the Jubilee year that's described in the book of Leviticus. There it talks about every 50th year, there was supposed to be a time of freedom and celebration when everyone gets back their original property if it had been stolen or taken, and slaves are freed and returned to their families. Jesus was anointed to be an activist, to fight for justice and the welfare of the marginalized. The liberator Christ was sent by God to free people from their bonds and suffering, to help and welcome those who are ostracized and taken advantage of by society. According to Jesus, when he's telling the parable of the sheep and the goats, it is by our willingness to help and support the needy and rejected that we will be judged. Whether we live fully and joyfully or whether we're spiritually dead is decided by our willingness to love our neighbor. To live in harmony with God's desires is to minister with and liberate those who are hungry, thirsty, marginalized, naked, sick, or imprisoned. It's to help those who society thinks of as the least of these, because Jesus says he and they are the same. They are God's beloved children, just as Jesus is, just as we are. The liberator of Christ is the Jesus who stands up to systemic oppressions in society, who constantly challenges religious authorities who have their priorities backwards. The liberator of Christ works to free LGBTQ plus people from the bonds of homophobia and to liberate us all from binary thinking about sexuality and gender identity so that we can become our true selves and create an environment where others can also become their true selves. And if the liberator Christ is the one who has come to free us from oppression, then according to Patrick Chang, sin can be understood as apathy. It is apathy, he says, that opposes the work of freedom and justice. It is apathy, a refusal to work for the elimination of oppression, a refusal to help and support the marginalized, that cages us and keeps us bound, that keeps us from becoming our authentic selves, that creates barriers in our relationships with God and with each other. We are bound by the sin of apathy when we don't want to act or speak up for those in need because of fear. When we want to live in our safe little bubbles and not take too many risks. Or sometimes apathy comes from a lack of understanding. We don't get how interconnected our lives really are. We think it isn't our issue. It's not our issue. We don't need to worry about racism because we don't really understand ourselves as either its victim or its perpetrator. Or we don't worry about how LGBTQ plus people are treated because that's not us. For Chang, part of the sin of apathy is leaving others behind. For example, if we do work to pass legislation protecting the LGBTQ plus community, but leave out the T, leave out the transgender people, as has been done in the past, or leave out those in alternative relationships, or people of color, or poor people, then that is a sin of apathy. All of us in this diverse world are interconnected. And the ways in which we are oppressed are also interconnected. Injustices such as racism and homophobia often support each other. Racism dividing the queer community, homophobia dividing people of color. When one of us is denied freedom, we are all really being denied freedom. And sometimes apathy also comes just from selfishness. We think, well, now's not a good time. I'm too busy. I don't have the energy. Maybe a church doesn't want to become open and affirming or address some justice issue because it's not a good time to deal with conflict. This, too, is perhaps an example of the sin of apathy. And if apathy is a sin, then Chang proposes that activism is the saving grace. It's our willingness to challenge the powers of our day, the powers that build and reinforce systemic oppression that can save us and heal us. The Liberator Christ calls us to stand up and speak out, to express ourselves, to use our agency, which, if you remember, is one of the five causes of life that I like to talk about sometimes. Our agency, our willingness to do, and using what energy and power we have, and we all have some, for the benefit of others, begins to create abundant life. It creates the freedom to become. And the Liberator Christ also calls us to be prophets, not afraid to say what needs to be said, not afraid to act for the cause of justice. The Liberator Christ calls us to compassionate activism. And that might mean confronting bigots in our families and in the streets. It might mean confronting political and religious leaders. It might mean joining in public protests. It might mean putting ourselves on the line for others. But I think just as importantly, it also can mean something much simpler. The prophet Micah confronts the people of his day who seem to be suffering from a kind of apathy. It's not that they don't care, but they're not really doing anything to help themselves or each other. They seem to act only to appease God, trying to get God's favor, trying to get on God's good side, offering sacrifices like they've been told to do, doing all the correct rituals. But then they go off and act however they want as they wait for God to fix their problems. And Micah calls them on it. He tells them, God doesn't care about all these things you're doing for show. When we engage in ritual, it's really helpful to us. And it is helpful, absolutely. But it's for our benefit, not for God's benefit. We don't participate in communion as we are going to do tonight to transform God. We participate in communion to open our hearts, to transform ourselves. What God cares about is how we act toward each other, how we are helping each other. What God wants is that we do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly through this life with God by our side. God wants us to get off our butts and simply be just and kind to each other, not putting ourselves before the welfare of everyone else. Justice, kindness, and humility nurture our relationships and the welfare of God's people and creation, and thus create an environment where we can live free. And I don't think that sounds all that hard. It doesn't really require going to protests. It just means that in what we do every day, try to do it fairly and kindly with love in our heart. And isn't that too compassionate activism? Doing what we can with what we have so that all people are free to become. It might mean doing those little things, being kind, or maybe it does mean going big and dramatic. But whatever else it means, it also means never standing still in apathy. And I think as we start to consciously work at simply loving our neighbor as we love ourselves, we're going to find ourselves caring about issues like racism and homophobia. We're going to start wanting to write letters to our congressional representatives. We're going to want to go to the justice rally in Bronson Park. The rainbow prayer says blue is for self-expression, the voice of the Spirit. This is the Spirit who guides us to becoming our best true selves, our best divine selves, who teaches us what it means to be children of God, living as the people God made us to be. And isn't that, after all, the freedom that we all really seek, to be able to live fully and authentically? And for us to truly live freely, we must always defend the right of everyone else to be free as well, to be their full and authentic selves. Let us follow the liberator Christ and listen for the Spirit, that voice of self-expression, that we might find the courage and inspiration to stand up and speak out, creating hope and justice in the world. Amen.